The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
Amen. Sure appreciate Brother Jackie coming over with his family and sharing that. Brother Jackie is a guy that sets me at ease. I just feel at ease around him. And I also feel very safe around him because he's a black belt karate instructor. So I like being around Brother Jackie. For many reasons, but most importantly because of the gift that God has given him. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, we continue our series that we've been preaching there for a number of weeks. And I want to read to you in chapter 2, I want to read verses 10, 11, and 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, 10, 11, and 12. And the subject today is the faithfulness of a father. The faithfulness of a father. Let's read in verse 10, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." If you recall last week, the Apostle Paul, as we looked at the portion of Scripture where he says, "I was gentle among you, even as a nursing mother cherisheth her children." So the Apostle Paul has gone from the tenderest picture, one of the greatest examples of self-sacrifice that you can find in the natural world today, that of a mother in a self-sacrificing, no payback kind of way, taking care of a helpless little infant. Which many of you have done that, and some of you are doing that now, and some of you expect to do that one day. There is no tenderer example and no better example of total self-sacrifice than a mother taking care of a helpless infant. And Paul said, "That's how I took care of you. That was my motive." The mother has no expectation of reward or being paid back, right? And now the Apostle Paul, he runs to another incredible example that I think in many ways has been so lost in our society today. I don't think that I know that. But he goes from a mother taking care of an infant child to a father he describes as exhorting and comforting and charging his children that they would walk worthy of God. You see, you notice how he's using the parenting example here. From the birth of an infant that cannot take care of itself to the growth of a child as they grow and they begin to be taught. And I want you to notice who he puts that responsibility squarely upon in the Scriptures, upon the father. Now, in our society, which has been thoroughly permeated by feminism and even, I've said this many times, I've said this to many young men, do not buy into the idea that religion is a female thing, that it's not cool, it's not something that that I can really engage in as a man because it's sort of a feministic thing to be religious. Listen, the Lord says there's neither male nor female whenever it comes to the kingdom of God, and the Lord does not put an emphasis on the male or the female. He puts the emphasis on Christ. And I've told many young men, do not buy into the last 40 or 50 or maybe more than that years where it seems like there has just been a move in that direction. You know, this is something I can't identify with as a man because it just involves the women and only they can get this. That's not what the Apostle Paul taught. That's not what God taught. That's not what the Scripture's about. That's not what the kingdom is about. And one of the reasons that we suffer so greatly in our society today is from a lack of fathers and a lack of fathers understanding what they're doing. Y'all know that I think I've shared this with you or mentioned it before, 10 years or so, 8 or 10 years, I was the prosecutor in a child support court in Pickens County. And the whole, not, I think maybe one time in all of those years in prosecuting a child support court, did we ever handle a case where we were going after a mother to pay child support. One time out of hundreds and hundreds of cases, we're going after the father to try to get him to be responsible, at least in a monetary way. And this goes so far beyond a monetary way, it's not even funny. But in child support court, it was always going after the father to get him to pay some make some financial responsibility towards his child, who he didn't even probably, rarely, hardly ever seen many of those children's faces. I told you the sad example of the one guy that I had there in child support towards the end of my time in child support court, and he had 11 children, and one on the way. And they gave me the sheet, and I looked at it, and I tried to count the number of different mothers that was on that sheet. And I went up to him, and I said, "Hey, I said, you have 11 children?" "Yes." And the weird thing was, we'd never seen this guy in child support court before. He was paying, he was working and paying what he was supposed to pay. He just got a little behind, so he comes to court. 11 children, and you got one on the way? "Yes." I said, "How many mothers are there here?" And he goes, "Man, I don't know." And I was thinking, this is some father, isn't it? This is some father. That's a sad statement on the way that things seem to be today. Now, here we have the Apostle Paul giving us the example that he treated the people that he preached to, he ministered to them like a mother would take care of an infant with no expectation of reward, and he ministered like a father would teach and train and guide his children. And notice he uses three things there. He says exhorted and comforted and charged. I really like that third one, charged. That's my favorite one. "You better do right." That's my favorite one because I'm good at that. I've got a stern voice. You know, I've kind of got, that kind of a personality that I give them that look. And man, the look just kind of shuts everybody down most of the time. Sometimes I'll come in there to the kids and I'll say, "Okay, tell me what you did." And they'll go, what? I said, "Come on, just come on out with it. Tell me what you did." And I said, "I didn't do anything, Daddy." I said, "I know. I was just seeing if you were guilty of something." But that voice, maybe one time, they caught on to that pretty quick. You know, he really doesn't know if we did anything or not. But I like the charged part. That's I can really settle into that. "You do right. You shouldn't have done this." I have a little trouble with the exhorted and the exhorting and the comforting part. And yes, that is incumbent upon a father, you see. Now listen, this isn't just a message about fathers. This is a message about how the Apostle Paul, as a minister, dealt with the people that he preached to. And it's also an encouragement for us to understand characteristics individually of how we should interact with one another. I really appreciated Brother McNeil's message last night up at Vestavia, and he uses a text over in Timothy about the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And I loved his comments about love. And I tell you, if a father or if any of our interactions together with one another, whether we're exhorting or comforting or charging one another or just being there for one another, if it's not mixed with love, then it's pointless. And when I say love, I'm not talking about the Hollywood feeling of love, or I feel like I'm in love with this person. I'm talking about a self-sacrifice where someone is saying, "I'll lay down my life for you. I love you enough to exhort you. I love you enough to encourage you and comfort you. And I also love you enough to charge you, to rebuke you." The word exhort means to encourage. That's what exhort means, to call to the side. "Come on, let's get this. Let's get this right." See, that's part of what the Apostle Paul did with the people there. It's part of what a father is to do with his children. "Come on, let's get this right." And then comfort them. That means to console one when they do bad. Usually we think about the mother comforting someone, a child. But here it says a father is also supposed to comfort those and console them when they do bad. And then to charge them, which means to rebuke and chasten them whenever they do wrong. There's other verses in the New Testament about dads. I preached a series of messages a few months ago, on good dads, bad dads in the Scripture. I'm not going to re-preach any of that. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." If he put that in there, it must mean that a father would have a tendency to do that. And if the Apostle Paul uses a father to compare how he treated the congregation, there is a way that a minister could provoke his congregation to wrath. If he treats them like children and he preaches to them like they are his children, he's to comfort, exhort, and encourage them. There's a way that he could preach mean, and he could preach without love, and he could preach in a way that they think they don't care, that he doesn't care about them, or he's always being so hard on us. You see, there's a way that you could provoke a congregation to wrath. He says, "But bring them up in the nurture and admonition." He didn't say put them down. He didn't say berate them or put them down. He said bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's synonymous with Proverbs 29, where it says that the rod and reproof brings correction. If you'll study out those two words, they go hand in hand. The rod and reproof goes hand in hand with nurture and admonition. Admonition is a word that is used often in counseling circles. The word nouthesia, which is the Greek word, if that does anything for you. But it means to set the mind. To set the mind. Now, I will admit to you that there were many times when the Harold McCool paddle set my mind back in the way that it needed to be. If I got out of line and did something I wasn't supposed to do, that rod certainly set my mind back. But I want you to know the thing that primarily set my mind was the example that he set, the example that my parents set, and the ongoing love that they demonstrated to me. That set my mind more than anything. The rod was an unpleasant experience from time to time. The point I'm trying to get across is this. If all we ever use is the rod as fathers, if the minister of the gospel is only ever spanking the congregation and hammering them for something, you see, that's discouraging. And it may provoke them to, I'm tired of getting spanked. You know, I've heard moms told the story that my granddaddy Springer, who was a member of this church years ago, and his brother, Lewis Springer, the ongoing legend, if it's true, I don't know, said they got a spanking from their mother every day of their childhood. And I've heard some of those things that they did. They probably deserved it, but I thought, let me say, that wouldn't have happened with Harold because Harold's arms were just a little too big and he was a little too powerful with the swinging of that paddle. It might have been one time a week, but it wouldn't have been once a day for me because it hurt too bad. But Granddaddy Springer and Uncle Lewis, they said they got a paddling every day. Could you imagine waking up in the morning and thinking, I wonder when I'm going to get my paddling? I mean, that'd be terrible. How would you like to come to church and be thinking, I wonder when I'm going to get my paddling from the preacher? Now, some of you say to me from time to time, you say, Brother Tim, you stepped on my toes today. And as I've said many times, I'm not aiming for your toes, I'm aiming for your heart. You see, because I love you like a father loves his children. But if I ever got into a habit of just spanking the congregation with the rod of correction every Sunday, I would hope that some of you would come and say, Brother Tim, Uncle, I'm crying, Uncle, that's enough. You spanked us enough. You see, because I love you like a father loves his children. We don't want to provoke children to wrath. It leads to discouragement. Colossians 3 and 21 says that. Don't provoke them to wrath because it leads them to be discouraged. But bring them up. Don't put them down. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now let's look at some Proverbs. We've got some time here to run through some Proverbs that I want you to see. And remember that this relates how we interact with one another. It relates how fathers interact with their children. It relates with how the parenting works according to the Scripture. And it most importantly relates to the kingdom of God, because that's how Paul said, I treated you as a minister. And it's how we should treat one another. Proverbs 1, the very first chapter of Proverbs. Listen at verse 6. We're going to turn, if you want to turn to Proverbs, we're going to be turning to several here and going through them rather speedily. If you need the sites, I'll be glad to give them to you later. Proverbs 1 and 6. Now listen to this. It says, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So that begs the question right there, doesn't it? The father's giving instruction and the mother's giving a law. And he says, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Listen, instruction right there. I'll search this out and look into the definitions. And I think the word instruction right there pretty much covers everything we read in 1 Thessalonians. To exhort, to comfort, and to charge. I think instruction covers all of that, because here's the definition of instruction. To reprove, to warn, to restrain, to chasten, to correct, to discipline, to teach doctrine, to rebuke. I think it covers it all. The root word, this is kind of funny, but the root word of that word instruction means to chastise literally with blows or figuratively with words. So it carries the idea somebody may have to have this truth reinforced in their lives as a child by getting a spanking from time to time. And remember, I said this to you before, and it's going on record and it goes on the podcast. The Word of God never once teaches that that a parent should spank a child with their hand. It always teaches that they should be spanked with a rod. And a rod, as I've told you, can be as small and as gentle as a feather, or it can be the big, horrible board that my dad had that I've told you 100 times that I wrote on there, "Do not spank Tim" with. And he did anyway. But you see, it carries the idea of there's a blow. So it hurts sometimes to be rebuked. It hurts to be instructed. I really don't like people to tell me that I'm doing wrong. Do you? I don't like that. I especially didn't like it when Chris McCool would come along when we were younger and tell me, "You're doing wrong." I didn't want to hear that from him. But I really didn't want to hear it from my parents, but I would listen to them more than I would listen to him. And even when he was right sometimes. This verse right here, this definition of instruction, of reproving, warning, restraining, it reminds me of 2 Timothy 3:15, where it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the grown-up individual of God, may be perfect, not sinlessly perfect, but may be mature. Did you know also right above that it says, he says to Timothy, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture." How about that? And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So Timothy, as a child, was instructed by his grandmother and his mother. You see, his dad wasn't around. Somebody may say, "Well, I wish I had had the instruction of a dad." And there's many people that do. And there's children that have been made fatherless because of tragedies. And then there's children that are fatherless because their parents just, the dad's just not around. And then there's the sad case of the orphan children who have parents that just won't do anything. See? So any way you cut it, you say, "Well, I just didn't have this benefit." Neither did Timothy. Timothy had a grandmother and a mother that loved him and instructed him and did the things that a dad should have been doing. So praise God. And look at Timothy. He's housed here in the Scripture. And we see the encouraging example of a young man who basically was fatherless. And yet look at how God blessed him. Look at Proverbs 3 and verse 11. Just a couple pages over. Look at these, "My son." Now listen, you daughters, don't think this leaves you out. When he says "my son," he's basically saying "my child." It applies to the daughters too. Verse 11, Proverbs 3. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." I tell you, I go on record here today. I only have one son. God's favored me with one son. And I go on record as to saying today before all of the folks that are listening to me, the podcast and whoever hears, that I delight in my son. I delight in him. He doesn't want to hear that. That sounds kind of silly, I know. But I want that to be on record that I delight in him. Now, I do not delight in his sin. I don't delight in his sinful nature. He has it. I have it. Guess where? You say, "Well, how'd he get it?" He got it from me. And a lot of his shortcomings probably are related to me. I don't delight in his sin, but I delight in him as an individual because he's a blessing from God. I delight in all of my children. I'm just saying son here because I only have one son. And this says the son in whom he delights. And with God as my witness, the many times, not lately, buddy, but the many times that I have had to put the rod of correction to him, I have never once delighted in that or enjoyed that. But because I delight in him and the blessing that he is to my life, I am willing to overcome that emotion and apply the rod of correction for his own good from time to time. So the idea that a parent says, "Well, I love my child too much to spank them," it just won't hold water with the Scripture. Proverbs 4 and 1. Listen to this. "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother." Look at how he's bragging on his father. Oh, listen. Look at how he's saying, "My father was good to me. My father loved me, and I listened to what my father said." And he goes on, I want you to notice the end of this. I don't have time to read it all, but it leads up to something. Over there in verse 14, it says that the final instruction there, what he's leading up to, the father says, "Listen to me, listen to me. I'm teaching you, listen to me." And then in verse 14, he says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked or go in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, pass away." You see the end result of that? He says, if you'll listen to me, you'll learn to avoid evil men. You'll learn to avoid those pitfalls in life. You'll learn that you don't have to go and fall in the pit. that you can avoid the pit and see it coming before it happens if you'll just listen to instruction. Look at Proverbs 6 and 20. The instruction of a father. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of wisdom are the way of life. And what's the purpose of all this? To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a woman, of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Oh, I've seen that happen in reality in life, where this man may have all of this, and by means of someone who was a strange woman, a stranger to his circle of existence, comes into it, and the next thing you know, through divorce, or through some type of destruction, or maybe through many children coming along, out of wedlock, the next thing you know, that man is brought to a piece of bread. He has nothing. All because he wouldn't listen to instruction. And then you can flip that too, sisters. The strange man bears many of the same characteristics as the strange woman. And I've said before, I've gone on record, I'll say it again. There's only one area in which I love Facebook. I don't like Facebook. Somebody that I won't name hijacked my account years ago. And although they're in this congregation, I don't care for Facebook. It's a way to maybe communicate here and there. But there is one reason I love Facebook. Is if that guy comes around and says, well, I like your daughter, I'm interested in your daughter, I'm going to Facebook. And I'm going to see what his likes and dislikes and who he's connected with and who he follows and all that. And even Twitter and even Instagram and even these other things. I'm going to do a thorough background check investigation to see what this guy's interests are. And then when I see all of that mess on there, if it's a bunch of mess, goodbye. You see, that's the responsibility of a father to do that. Look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. Listen to this in Proverbs 10 and 1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. You see, a son that listens, a child that listens has a glad father, but a foolish son is heavy to his mother. It's a burden to his mother. Oh, I've seen that over the years, especially in the court system. I've seen that in juvenile court, especially when some poor mother who had lines on her face that she didn't have before this child started being disobedient. Gray hairs in her hair that she didn't have before this child started being disobedient. And I would sit there and plead with that child, 17, 16, 15, whatever their age may be. Listen, you're killing these folks. You're killing yourself. That mother's just, she's in heaviness because of that child. Look at Proverbs 15 and 5. Just a few more here. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Can you see the repeating pattern in the Word of God? Oh, listen. Listen to your father. Listen to your mother, young guys. I still listen to my father and my mother. Look at Proverbs 17 and 25. Listen to this recurring theme. 17 and 25 says, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. Proverbs, they don't have to turn there, but 19 and 13 says that a foolish son is a calamity to his father. Proverbs 20 and 20 says, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out. I've had one or two people over the years in my presence curse their father or their mother in court. I'd say, hush, you're cursing the very ones that brought you into this world. That doesn't make sense. That just doesn't make sense. It's insane to say, to curse the one that actually gave you life. He says, their lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. Proverbs 29 and 3. There's so many that we could look at. I've just got a couple more. Whoso loveth wisdom rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots, wild partiers, spendeth his substance. You see, all of this is here for our instruction. And I know we've kind of sidetracked into fathers teaching their children, because that's what the Apostle Paul said. We need to understand how important it was that the Apostle Paul treated them like he was a father to them, and he wanted them to see them do well. Notice what it says. He says that I dealt with you, I exhorted you, I comforted you, I charged you as a father doth his children. For what purpose? That you would walk worthy of God. That should be the goal of a father.
They received his exhortation. They received his comforting. They received his charge. Look at Hebrews 12 as we close. This is the last verse I want to read to you here in Hebrews 12. And it says in verse 6, he says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement," listen to the strong language now, "whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." It's not fun to get a spanking. It's not fun to be chastened, and not even with a spanking. I don't like to be told no. I can remember my dad would say sometimes, often before he would spank me, he would say, "No, son, this is going to hurt me a lot worse than it is you." And I was, "This guy's crazy. I'm fixing to scream and shout and do the Indian swordtail dance." Y'all heard of that one, haven't you? I'm going to scream and shout. And he's saying it's going to hurt him more. I didn't understand it back then, but I do understand it now. I have used the rod of correction in tears with my children before. And I'm going to tell you right now, as a minister of the gospel, I've had to sit down with God's children from time to time. I've had to instruct from the pulpit. I've had to get down on my knees in prayer and tears with God's children. Because if I believe my own heart, I love God's children like a father would love his children. And did you know that your heavenly Father loves you? You know, the whole purpose of being a father and doing this that he's describing here is for a goal, and it's to glorify the Lord. And the Lord himself, our heavenly Father, has a plan for us. And that plan is to be housed in heaven one day. But we're not there yet. We're still dealing with the nasty now and now rather than the sweet by and by. We're not there yet. And so while we are here in the nasty now and now, the Lord in heaven has a desire for his children to walk worthy of the calling that he's given us. And that calling is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the Lord Jesus Christ, as an obedient son, was willing to go to the cross and die and pay for our sins and suffer the wrath of God just so we could enjoy that eternal benefit one day. But right now, we can enjoy the blessings and the benefits of God's kingdom right now. I'm so thankful for the fathers that I have had. I could tell you about granddaddies. I could tell you about coaches that I have had. I could tell you about my own sweet dad. I could tell you about some preachers that were fathers to me. Oh, those are the ones that I love, and I'm so thankful. And sometimes they'd have to discipline me. They'd have to say, "Hey, reel this thing back in. Dial this down. Tone it down a little bit." That's what the Word of God does, so that we'll walk worthy. Get all those distractions out of the way and be obedient children. And the Apostle Paul said, "You remember, that's the way I handled you. That's the way I treated you." If you ever see me treating you like the old saying, you know, a redheaded stepchild, just come to me. Sorry for you redheaded folks out there. I'm sorry. I didn't make that phrase up, okay? But if you ever feel like I'm treating you like that, you come to me and we'll get right again. Because it's either you misunderstanding what I'm doing or it's me off on some tangent that I don't need to be off on. And that can happen. That can happen to a father. Did you know one of the sweetest things that a father can ever do for his children is to go and apologize to them when he's wrong? And if you're sitting there thinking, "Well, I don't think I've ever been wrong," we need to talk. If there's one or more here that would like to follow the Lord, we give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.